Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News. The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra. In Kumasi, we're on Love 99.5 FM. We're live on myjoyonline.com, live in all 16 regions. Radio Max in Takrade, A1 Radio, and Dreams FM in Borga Tanga. We're on Jubilee Radio in Keta. We're live on X Spaces. We're on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. Coming up in this edition, the impasse in Ghana's parliament remains unresolved, putting public sector salaries and government operations at risk if the first quarter of 2025 budget is not presented and passed.
What Mr. Speaker did today amount to supervising chaos and bringing the image of democracy to disrepute.
Clearly, what we are seeing here is an abuse of the constitution and the standing orders of Ghana's parliament.
And some legal practitioners are equally divided on the subject.
Speaker is engaging in a situation where he is empowering the kind of situation that is going on. They didn't have the numbers, so they forced something, a deflection.
And is there a third attempt to have Parliament recalled? We have details for you, plus tell you about the five NDC MPs introducing a private members' bill to repeal the betting tax. And with 29 days to the crucial 2024 polls, the diplomatic community is raising concerns as Ghana's elections approach, signalling fears of potential violence.
My colleagues and I are frequently told by a range of people that they fear Ghana's 2024 elections will be less peaceful than previous elections.
And we're hearing those signals. Is incredibly important. Signing of the peace pact as soon as possible.
We'll get to hear from the UK, the US and the UN. Vice President Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia promises an all-inclusive government if elected president to fight illegal mining.
Section 63 of the Chieftaincy Act may be amended.
We have neglected chiefs in our governance system since 1957, but you are custodians of the lands. I am coming to change the law to include you in our governance structure.
And still on the campaign trail, we hit the camp of the NDC where some chiefs are pleading with the party to help connect the rural communities to the national grid if they win the 2024 polls. And it's Farmers Day today, but no national parade. We'll get to hear the Ministry of Food and Agriculture's defense of the decision to rather hold an awards dinner to celebrate farmers.
We thought we needed to move away and also make agriculture lucrative, make it attractive.
We have sports.
We'll get more reactions from Black Stars coach Otuadu's squad announcement today.
And as always, I'll bring you the lighter side of politics and bring unforgettable moments in this week's campaign show, from witty exchanges to unexpected twists on the campaign trail.
They cannot solve the suffering of the people. All what they do out there during campaigns, in spite of the hardship, is to sing and dance Osisikia.
That's it, more in this afternoon's edition of the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. This is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. We dig in, and a full government shutdown looms as critical approvals for public spending in the first quarter of 2025 remain unresolved following the indefinite suspension of Parliament. Speaker Alban Sumana Kingsford-Bagbing announced a suspension after the NPP caucus failed to appear in the chamber despite having requested an urgent sitting. The majority leader, Alexander Fenyomarking, attributed the absence to the Speaker's decision to permit the NDC to take the right side of the chamber. Both Afenyomarking and the minority leader, Dr. Kaisola Tofosin, remain firm in their positions. Updates on the potential path forward are forthcoming.
He told the whole of the country that he had not made a ruling. So if he claims that what he did was a formal communication in response to a statement from the minority leader, then why is he supervising chaos in the House? What Mr. Speaker did today amount to supervising chaos and bringing the image of democracy to disrepute.
Clearly, what we are seeing here is an abuse of the constitution and the standing orders of Ghana's parliament. The NPP minority caucus have indeed caused financial loss to the state and to us, the NDC members of parliament, and to the people of Ghana. We say this because this recalls cost Ghana money. This is not the first time that they have done this. They've done this a couple of times, but we see nothing than disrespect.
That's the majority leader and minority leader, Alexander Afenyomaki and Dr. Case Olatoforsen, while private legal practitioner Kofi Bentall is blaming the speaker for the impasse.
Are you telling me that the speaker and the clerk of parliament were not aware of what was physically going on happening in parliament? Are you telling me that if the MPP does not draw the attention of the speaker of what is happening in his parliament, he does not see, does not hear, does not know? If the Supreme Court has made an order and the speaker is refusing to give it full effect, I said full effect, what will a notice from the MPP do? I have had a small discussion with the speaker, and I do understand the position he took before the Supreme Court made the ruling. And I agree with him that, given what the Constitution was, I think he made a fair conclusion or ruling. But I disagree with him that if the Supreme Court has said move the other way, it is an interference of Parliament. If the speaker has not made a clear statement to that effect, but make statements skirting the issue and making pronouncements to the effect that the Supreme Court is trying to interfere with the processes of Parliament, the speaker is engaging in a situation where he is empowering the kind of situation that is going on.
Well, another legal practitioner, Martin Pibu, says the NPP simply did not have the numbers to move government's business.
The bottom line is that they didn't have the numbers, so they forced something, a deflection. Because they had to go in there, even if all of them didn't want to enter, so that maybe so if there was a crowd, it could easily degenerate. They could have stood outside. Then Apenyo and maybe three of the other leaders would go with him. Then they would make their representation. You think Apenyo didn't know how to do this? And in actual fact, look, they could have stood as majority. They could have stood on the left side of the speaker and so transacted business. What is it about sitting on the right? It's about the business, substance over form. But the reason they don't do all of this is that they didn't have the numbers, so they sought to avoid an embarrassment.
Labour consultant Austin Gummer says both parties, including the speaker, are yet to respond formally to his request to mediate in the impasse.
So what we need is a civilized, facilitated mediation. You need a mediator who is endowed with a process to facilitate how this matter can be resolved.
Okay.
I saw it some 3-4 weeks ago that this problem will persist, cannot be resolved. It will be a partisan leading kind of thing. So I wrote to them and suggested to the speaker, to Afenyomaki, to Atu, that look, you are engrossed in this matter. You cannot help yourself. You need help. I will avail myself to you. I will spend 1.5 hours with you, the minority people. I will spend 1.5 hours with you, majority people, and I will engage the speaker and bring the 2-3 sides together within a maximum period of 3 hours. We can go through a process to have this matter resolved.
Well, and that's a Labour consultant, Austin Gummer. My colleague, Parliamentary Affairs correspondent, Kwiku Asante, joins me in studio with what exactly we are learning when it comes to the latest on the Zone Pass. Is there another recall looming?
Kwiku, MFI, yes, the Speaker of Parliament, we understand, is going to get a letter pretty shortly from the NPP MPs requesting another recall. That will be the third time that the NPP MPs are asking for this kind of recall following such abrupt adjournment of proceedings in Parliament. And we understand signatures have already been gathered. The only thing outstanding is that the NPP MPs are trying to engage the Speaker in the next few hours and days. If they do not get any positive response from him that he will recall Parliament on his own volition, on Monday they will send that letter requesting that the Speaker of Parliament, by virtue of the Constitution and the standing orders, recall the House.
Stay with me, Kwiku, because we know that 5 NDC MPs have introduced a private member's bill to repeal the controversial betting tax. The NDC group in Parliament have signaled they will continue to introduce legislation legislation to undo what they describe as the hardships imposed by the President Akufo-Addo government. Who are these five MPs?
So,
what are the details?
They are led by MP for Madina, Francis Xavier Susu, the minority leader himself, Dr. Kassiel Atuforsen. There is Al Hassan Suhini as well, and then there is Isaac Adongo, and then MP for Ayen Suano is also part of these five MPs. Mm. They are introducing this PMB, and they've already written to the speaker, getting the clerk to actually put this before the floor of the house as soon as the house reconvenes in the next few days. And if that happens, what they are seeking to do is to completely take away the percentage of the amount that the government takes from the betting winnings. Let me read part of it. It says, an act to amend the Income Tax Act 2023 to repeal the withholding tax rate on winnings from lottery, including betting, gaming, and other game of chance, and provide for related matters. And so Section 6 of Act 896 that he is seeking to repeal will become the principal enactment is amended in Section 6 by the exclusion after Paragraph 5 of Paragraph A of Subsection 2, winnings from lottery. And if this gets through, and plus they've added a long memorandum explaining why they believe this is great, and they say that currently, despite inflation standing at 21.5%, representing 1.1% increase from the 24% recorded in the month of August, the cost of living of most average Ghanaians, including the youth, continue to rise. And they say if young people are engaging in lotteries and betting and getting something, the government should not be taking that, despite making the economy very difficult.
And those who bet call themselves investors, and they're already reacting to this.
Yes.
From the legislature, now let's focus on the judiciary. And Ghana's judicial impartiality index has dropped by 30% between 2017 and 2023. That's the latest Mo Ibrahim Foundation report that we are getting. Lead data analyst Kofi Ejementa joins me in studio. Kofi, what are the details?
Well, this is fresh data from the 2024 Mo Ibrahim Index of African Governance and on Ghana's judicial system, impartiality. In 2016, this current government inherited a score of 94.1. And let me explain that 100% means that's the best score. Zero means that's your worst score. Mm. They inherited 94.1 in 2016, increased it to 97% in 2017. But we've seen that since 2017, the score has dropped from 97 now to 68.3. That's about 30% decline in between that period. And if you look at the independence of the judiciary, has also dropped by 50% from 100% to 50% between the same period.
Well, that's the 2024 Mo Ibrahim Index of African Governance, and Kofi has given us all the details, and of course there's more on myjoyonline.com, and subsequently we'll delve deeper into it. Let's get into the election headquarters now.
Election Headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, Youth Bridge Foundation, bridging the gap for positive youth development, Syntex Tanks, Aya Strong, Aya Tough, and Potential Real Estate, your trusted partner in real estate.
And this afternoon, the diplomatic community is getting alarmed over what they describe as signals of violence in the upcoming polls. The UK and the US closely watching the situation note growing tensions as campaign rallies and public statements by candidates heat up. Despite these concerns, they remain hopeful that Ghana's long-standing tradition of peaceful elections will hold. But to achieve that, they urge Ghanaians to reject violence when they head to the polls, as the country's reputation of peace and democracy in Africa is at stake. Well, you can listen to the UK High Commissioner Harriet Thompson speak at the commemoration of King Charles' birthday here in Accra.
The UK doesn't support any party over another, but we strongly support Ghana's democracy. Like Ghanaians, we want to see this country continue to be the most stable and successful democracy in the region. That's why we're funding independent domestic observers, and why British High Commission staff will travel across the country in coordination with many other diplomatic missions to see Ghanaian democracy in action. Unfortunately, my colleagues and I are frequently told by a range of people that they fear Ghana's 2024 elections will be less peaceful than previous elections. That's worrying for everyone, because an election that's not peaceful would be incredibly damaging for Ghana, as well as dangerous, of course, for those directly involved. But the good thing is that politicians and others in influential positions, many of you are here this evening, can prevent this from happening. They can use and are using their voices as leaders to send clear messages that a successful election is a peaceful one. So I urge all of you with influence to do all you can to ensure that Ghana has credible, transparent, inclusive and peaceful elections, to make sure that Ghanaians continue their proud tradition of democracy.
And as the UK High Commissioner, Harriet Thompson, there speaking at the commemoration of King Charles's birthday. We've also been hearing from the US Ambassador to Ghana, Virginia Palmer. She's called on all political parties to commit to peace by signing the National Peace Pact.
Signing of the peace pact as soon as possible by all parties, and commitment to peace and to elections being run properly by all of the parties involved. And we're hearing those signals properly is incredibly important. Whether it's wet signatures on a peace pact or just, you know, officials saying, I commit that Ghana's elections will be a model for the region and the continent. I'll call again for, you know, early signing of the peace pact. I'll call on political leaders to come down hard on other candidates in races down the ticket, or even people just raising a ruckus in constituencies across the nation for coming out and saying that's not the kind of election we want to have. I saw a great poster. I went to see the Northern regional minister, and he had a sign that, big sign on the front door, said, don't insult your political opponents, which I thought, well, that sums it up. And the United States will partner with Ghana to make sure and to be helpful where we can to make sure that the elections are run properly and reflect the will of the Ghanaian people.
Meanwhile, the UN Secretary General's Special Representative for West Africa in the Sahel, Leonardo Santos Simão, is appealing to political actors to be peaceful and urge their followers to do the same.
What I will encourage the parties is to work together and to address the concerns raised. And I think this is doable. Yeah, it's possible to do. It's possible to overcome these difficulties.
You think the Peace Council has the capacity?
I think so. Not only the capacity, but also the willingness to do so. My interactions with the council is this and that this group of citizens are committed to peace and stability in the country. Mm. That's my feeling. I saw genuine commitment to do good, to do things rightly. That's what I say. And secondly, openness for dialogue. And this I can assure. Yeah. Then the opinion of political parties is their responsibility.
That's the UN Secretary General Special Representative for West Africa and the Sahel, Leonardo Santos Simão. They're commending the National Peace Council's proactive efforts in promoting a peaceful environment ahead of the upcoming polls. We'll stay on the campaign trail at this point, and presidential candidate of the New Patriotic Party, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, has promised to establish an all-inclusive government if elected president, with a focus on empowering traditional leaders to fight against illegal mining. Speaking at a stakeholder meeting with traditional leaders in the Kwabre East constituency, Dr. Bawumia emphasized the importance of involving traditional leaders in the fight.
Nananum Yebu Mayi from 1957. Usha Yamfa Nananum Kahu Yedu Nananumitun Chenu Badmuna Mukuta Asasi Yedi Yana Sanoa Embuaye Mepese Mesusa Mrano Section 63 of the Chieftaincy Act.
Nananum, we have neglected chiefs in our governance system since 1957, but you are custodians of the lands. I am coming to change the law to include you in our governance structure. We are coming to grant a license for mining, and that must have chiefs included.
And my colleague Nana Bwachi Dankwa-Iyadom with the Vice President's team joins us with updates on the campaign. Nana, we know that the Vice President took a quick break to be part of the CEO's presidential gala last night. Is he back on the trail? What has he been up to?
Well, MFA, the Vice President is back in the Ashanti region to continue with his 15-day tour of the region. Today, he is visiting three constituencies, Odotobri as I speak, where we are currently. He'll be visiting Mansum Kwanta and then Mansu Edubia constituency. Well, yesterday, the Vice President launched the credit scoring system. Today, at Odotobri constituency, the Vice President has been encouraging citizens and business and the business community at large to make good use of the credit scoring system that he launched yesterday. And so that has been his main topic for his campaign this morning at Adutobri.
Thank you very much. That's my colleague Nana Buachi Dankwa Yiadom. We'll focus on the camp of the NDC now, and the presidential candidate John Dramani Mahama says the deceased founder of Kama Group of Companies, Dr. Michael Ejekumado, is just one of many prominent individuals alongside numerous pensioners and ordinary Ghanaians who were pushed into financial distress due to the government's mismanagement of the economy. Speaking on the first day of his tour in the central region, John Dramani Mahama urged residents of Ewutu Senya East to vote out the new Patriotic Party.
So bonds are the safest investment anywhere in the world, except in Ghana under MPP administration. Enti papa ebe sun chere Ghana po se mesika kakra anka mede me bahwe me ho se bebi amanyi edru no afi me be ko pension enti mesika kakra anka na mede to ho se mede bahwe me ho no eno ena abai abo me bos abo no bosia.
Well, my colleague Maxo Agbagba is traveling with the NDC flag bearer and the team joins us on the line. Maxo, what else is happening on the trail?
The NDC presidential candidate just arrived here in the Gumwa East constituency, specifically here at Budumbram. And very soon he will be speaking shortly. But he, among the other things that he has been talking about in the first place that he visited, at the first place that he visited as the Ewutu Senya East constituency, is the issue of employment for young people. And he's been promising the residents of the Ewutu Senya East constituency that a future NDC government will put in place all interventions to ensure that they are employed and are able, you know, to provide for their families. He's also been talking about 1,000 achievements of the NDC in the constituency. He says that previously it took hours to move from the toll booth to the Malam areas. But because of the massive infrastructural development that the NDC government, previous NDC government, put in place, now really there's no traffic within that area. And he has been promising the people that if an NDC government is elected in December, they'll do more to ensure that the people live comfortably. Right now, they're just about introducing him, and he would address the crowd here in the Gumwa East constituency.
That's my colleague Maxo Agbagba bringing us the latest from the central region as the NDC flag bearer John Dramani Mahama begins his campaign tour in the region. Taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News, live on Joy 99.7 FM, also on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, affiliates across Ghana's 16 regions, on myjoyonline.com. And the Midday News is made possible by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. We've been focusing on the looming government shutdown following that critical approval for public spending in limbo for the first quarter of 2025 remain unresolved following the indefinite suspension of parliament. We'll return from the break. We have sport. It's Farmers Day today, but no national parade. We'll hear the Ministry of Food and Agriculture's defense of the decision to rather hold an awards dinner to celebrate farmers. And then we have the lighter side of politics. It's a Friday, and bring you unforgettable moments in this week's campaign show, from witty exchanges to unexpected twists on the campaign show and jabs in parliament.
They cannot solve the suffering of the people. All what they do out there during campaigns, in spite of the hardship, is to sing and dance Osisikia.
When budgets are tight and money difficult to come by, you want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricant. Drive to a petrol source station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricant, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
Oh, yeah.
Efia, I've been thinking. Have you noticed the changes in our community?
Kojo, things are really different now. The MPP has really made a difference.
Exactly. Free SHS, healthcare, new factories. It's like a whole new Ghana.
And don't forget, electricity is so much reliable now. I remember when we used to go days without light.
True. The MPP has done a lot to improve the basics.
Ajua is a beneficiary of free SHS. And now, she is in university.
And that's the kind of leadership we need. Someone who is focused on making things better for everyone. But if you are, still there are a lot more to be done for the development of Ghana.
Absolutely, Kojo. The MPP has shown that real progress is possible.
On December 7th, let's vote to keep this positive impact going. Vote number one on the ballot. Vote MPP for a better and prosperous Ghana.
Thanks for staying with us. Let's do sports now.
Well, yesterday, Black Stars coach Otuado announced a 25-man squad for the qualifiers against Angola and Niger next week. Two of those players, Emmanuel Entry of Kumasi Asante Kotoko and Razak Simpson of Nations FC, are from the Ghana Premier League. Yes, Kotoko's Emmanuel Entry.
I've been waiting for this opportunity for a very long time, and it's a dream come true. And it shows I made the right decision by joining Kumasi Asante Kotoko, and I think I'm doing something right that has, you know, taken me to this level. I think I can do more. It means a lot to me. Credit goes to our head coach and to the technical team as well, and also to the head coach of Ghana Black Stars, Coach Otuado, for keeping an eye on me. And also credit goes to the players for helping me to improve.
That was Kotoko Emmanuel Entry.
Thank you very much. We're waiting for game plan later this afternoon. And the Ministry of Food and Agriculture is defending its decision not to hold a Farmers' Day parade today, which has been replaced with an awards night dinner. My colleague Kenneth Jesse has been finding out more about today's Farmers' Day celebrations. Why didn't we have a parade? What did they say is the reason?
Well, they say every year since 2017, they've been reviewing their celebrations. And this year, they decided to hold a dinner's night instead of a parade because they want to make farming more attractive and attract younger people to engage in farming.
And you've been hearing from the farmers that they're falling for this explanation.
No, they are not. They say that they're not really happy with what is happening, especially when Galamse is destroying their farmlands, and they were not consulted by the ministry when this decision was taken.
Well, we'll hear more subsequently. Thank you very much, Kenneth JC. And just before we head out, is the fun side of the campaigns from the witty exchanges, amongst others. My colleague Collins Frimpong brings you this report right to you.
It has been an eventful week in Ghanaian politics, with less than 30 days until the general elections. Well, candidates have been trading jabs over their policies.
John Dramani Mahama. Obeba Hebio, Asanya Tuaban, Obamu Bisano, Kumasi Brewery. They used to run three shifts in 24 hours. They're 24-hour cycle production.
And then Tina, me Bisano, now no say. On train in Shishabako, with Yaba as president or vice president. When to me, Yano Baku.